cranked up to 11 because it's one louder. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that asks, what's our clearance, Clarence? And now, laughing like a hyena, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, guess what? It's time for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, starring yours truly, as my Canadian nephew just told you, your expert, Medicare expert, that is, Douglas B. Jones, is on the job and ready to rock, Doc. So thank you very much for joining us again. It's been a beautiful Thanksgiving week that just passed by. And I have returned from California. I went to California to visit the daughter and her husband and two college-age sons, and stayed for the fun because in Orange County, nobody is enforcing any mask mandates. And that's the way we like it. It's like an island of freedom inside of the big penitentiary that is known as California. But hey, we're here to help people feel good about transferring from regular health insurance at the end of their careers or turning 65 to Medicare health insurance. And it's a transition that most people wind up feeling pretty good about. It's a relatively inexpensive form of coverage compared to what they've been used to. And yet it's a coverage that can offer you a lot of freedom of choice in providers, freedom of choice as to where you get your treatment, and freedom of choice in purchasing a product that you may want to replace in the future, but you'll never feel the need to. So it's just it can be a beautiful thing for most people, but there's a lot of trepidation, a lot of concern, like, ooh, will I make a mistake? And so for that purpose, I wrote a book called Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, or maybe it's Easiest and Simplest Guide. In any event, that book is on sale at Amazon.com in its paperback form, in its Kindle ebook format, and in its Audible format. And then, of course, we have the same paperback edition available with beautiful color illustrations on sale at Barnes and Noble. So take your pick. If you don't mind black and white, you want to save a buck or two, go to Amazon.com and buy the book. So here's what we do on almost every episode. I can't think of an episode that we didn't do this, but we introduce our 30-second radio podcast or a radio advertisement. Randy plays that for us when we're very quiet. Randy, could you do your thing, please? Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you very much. And now let's hear from the real man himself, Randy Carson. Speak to us.
Mr. Jones, how are you this fine day after Thanksgiving? Not quite after Thanksgiving, but a few days after Thanksgiving.
It's just a few days after, and I'm so happy to be back here in my Arizona fortress of solitude. Gazing out at the beautiful sunshiny mountains.
Yes, I totally agree with you, but you know, I have to tell a little bit of a story here.
I like stories. I hope it has a happy ending.
You know, oh, it does. It absolutely does. So when I first signed into the Zoom meeting that we use to coordinate our recordings, Doug sits in his studio and I sit in my studio. Doug was fast asleep in his office chair, snoring. And you know what it was, folks? He was still suffering from a turkey tryptophan high.
Yes, L-tryptophan is my worst enemy for the part of me that wants to accomplish things. But the part of me that loves to take naps, it's beautiful.
So I assume, out there in California land, that you got a hold of a turkey, or what did you have for the meal of the day?
I'll tell you, California is full of turkeys. They tried to recall the turkey in the herd. I guess the flock. They tried to recall the biggest turkey in the flock, and for some reason that failed. But there are a lot of jive turkeys in California. But we had the traditional stuff, and then because my daughter has lived in California for, you know, 15 years now, they had a lot of weirdo, you know, gluten-free California weird stuff that I didn't get near. So they did both, and that was great. We were able to enjoy the traditional stuff as well as the cutting-edge new type of stuff. And I'm not that adventurous, as you know. So I stuck with the traditional turkey, gravy, stuffing, potatoes, and cranberry and all of that. So it was a great, great meal. And prior to that, they wore us out by dragging us all over their part of Southern California to eat in strange places and look at strange things. And it was just fun.
So, but that was just a typical California experience, right? You know, absolutely. Looking at strange things, looking at strange people.
Yep. And our son and his wife came from, there's a roadrunner walking around in my front yard. I don't see roadrunners walking around very much, but this thing's looking for a rabbit to kill. He's looking all over the front yard. Just picture a roadrunner on the prowl. They're not the fun beep beeps that you see in the cartoons.
No, they're not. You get anywhere close to a roadrunner, they're going to rip your throat out.
I look like lunch to your average roadrunner.
He's looking in through your window going, is that guy in there? Is that a potential lunch?
Yeah. I hope there's nothing invisible in between me and him, because I'm going to come after him. But a glass eludes most wild animals. Okay, I have an announcement to make. Big news. As I told Randy earlier, I sent him a thing that we should talk about this, talk about that. Podcast, and of that list was big news at the Jones House. And in this case, the big news at the Jones House is the Jones House in St. Charles, Illinois. I've been whining and complaining for the last 2 years about having this big giant house to own, and I'm trying to get rid of it. But buyers for like this are rare. You know, it's like rarefied atmosphere. And he had a motivated buyer who loves the place as much come along last week, and that buyer has pretty much signed on the dotted line. So that's the good. We'll have sold my house. The address, for those of you that like to do internet snooping, is 808 North Fifth Avenue, St. Charles, Illinois, 60174. It's got a couple of ponds and a creek running past it, and it's got almost 6 acres of woods. And some golf course, remnants of the family golf course, the family that built the house. So it's just a beautiful, magnificent place, but it was time for us to sell it and downsize. And of course, we're moving to beautiful Wayne, Illinois, just a few miles north and east. Anyway, so the bad news about all this is that I'm going to have to go back and empty the place out. I am concerned about a couple of things. First of all the work. Secondly, the fact that I've got to do all this during the Illinois winter, because I'll be doing it in late December and early January. But if I can do it successfully, then hopefully we'll have a happy buyer at the end of January when the closing occurs, and a happy seller, which will be me. So that's the big family announcement that I had for today.
Well, congratulations, Doug. That's been not a worrisome thing, but I know it's caused a lot of brain power on your part.
Yes, I don't have that much to spare either. So this is going to make me even more entertaining, I hope, in the future without the burden.
All I can tell you, folks, is, this house that Doug's talking about, when the HVAC systems all kick in at the same time.
Yeah,
they have to let the power plant in Chicago know it's coming.
Well, they used to do that, but I switched all the furnaces, all four furnaces, over to gas. And so it's only when the AC kicks in that on a hot day that the lights dim in other parts of Illinois. Thank God for nuclear power, huh?
That's I know. I know. Well, I'm really happy for you, Doug, and I know you're happy. So that makes me happy. So, but what I don't like the concept of is you having to go back to the tundra.
Yeah, not a pleasurable thought either. And especially when it's so darn cold and I'm carrying stuff from the house to the garage to a truck or a, you know, what a pod or whatever else like that, it's not going to be that much fun. So I'm hoping to have a spate of warm weather, and I'm hoping that I don't own as much stuff as I'm afraid to. The buyer has said that they want a bunch of the furniture, and so I'm hoping they understand that I'm Mr. Generous. So when they go through the house with my realtor and start tagging the stuff they'd like to keep, I encourage them to just, you know, leave caution to the winds.
Well, actually, what you could do is just go through ahead of time, tag everything, and then say what you don't want, just pull the tag off.
Well, you just blew my cover there. I'm going to wait until I see what kind of tags they have. I'm going to buy a bunch of tags that match them exactly and put them on everything else.
That's right. That's right. So now answer me this. So the stuff that you do end up keeping out of your current house, are you just going to truck that up to the new one?
The new house can't hold anything yet because it's in a straight construction. So it's basically not, it's got anything I put in that house now is going to cause mayhem with the construction types. And so what I'm thinking about doing, I've got four acres, it's all wooded, and the area is highly restrictive by, no HOA, but just a lot of people that don't want to see anything imperfect. But if I can get a big shipping container dropped back where it's not going to disturb anybody, then that's going to be a good start for putting a lot of our stuff. And that would only be for stuff that cold won't harm.
Yeah. Well, you probably, since we are doing a podcast as we speak, isn't there one of those little capsule moving company things leaves off a pod?
Pods has done so well that as its version of pod. And I like competition because that keeps the prices down. So yes, pod is one way to do it, but they've got, I think some weight limits. And when you start talking about tools, we're going to exceed their weight limit very quickly. But if you're talking about household clothes and stuff like that, that's going to be one way to do it. But then Mary's concerned about some of our stuff being susceptible to the really, really cold temperatures that can happen in Illinois. So we're going to have to pick and choose. There's an indoor storage not too far away. It used to be a factory owned by a family friend, and they moved to a larger brand new facility. And so somebody's using this old factory building for interior storage, heated, weather controlled. So I think we'll get it done. And I think we'll be able to protect all the things that could be harmed by being out in the cold. It's just going to be the kind of thing that I'd rather snap my fingers. And if I had married, she could push her arms together and nod her head and have it all happen instantly. But that's not happening in my life. So,
yeah, I totally get it.
I should let you cough and blow because of your germ laden condition. And while you do that, I'm going to do a little Medicare stuff.
You can do some Medicare stuff while I try to get my cold under control here.
Yeah. You get that phlegm factory, rounded up. And
I'm going to just so it doesn't shock you, I'm going to cut off the video feed so you don't have to watch me blowing my nose.
I'm already shocked by having to look through the video feed. Your nose looks like it's been blown a few times recently. Yeah,
it's wearing off. I'll talk to you in just a couple minutes.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what I thought we'd talk about today is durable medical equipment. I've got a very good friend who is facing the durable medical equipment quandary right now because he is one of these people who has sleep apnea, and for years he's snored, and his wife has complained, and house guests, he's always had a large house on a lake or a house in Arizona, and his house guests have complained that his snoring and interrupted breathing during the night has shaken the house and awakened everybody and frightened them. So he finally went to a sleep clinic, and it was evaluated, and now he has a sleep apnea I forget what you call the thing, but he's got this machine, a CPAP. He's got a CPAP, and it's considered by Medicare, since he's over 65, he's on Medicare, and it's considered to be durable medical equipment. And he called me yesterday, and he said, "Now, what's the deal here? I have so many receipts and so much paperwork, and they're billing me every month, and I don't know whether Medicare is paying as it should, and I don't know if my Medicare supplement is paying as it should, and I'm very confused by all of this." And I said, "Well, I'm not an expert. I'm not a claim expert, but here is the way Medicare is supposed to work when you have a Medicare supplement. So you have Medicare Part A that pays for your hospital, your inpatient expenses. You have Medicare Part B that pays for anything outpatient, any treatment or equipment or whatever you need when you're not a patient in a hospital." And so my understanding is that durable medical equipment is covered by Medicare Part B. Well, Medicare Part B has an annual deductible of $203 this year. It's going to be $233 next year. And after that, they pay 80% without limit. It never goes to 100%. It's always 80%, but it's without limit. So if you have $1 billion in claims during the course of a year, they'll pay 80% of that $1 billion. And then you better hope you have a good Medicare supplement to pay the other 20%. And those things are kind of expensive if you get one that's going to pay everything after that Part B deductible. And what I tell my clients is you're going to be a lot better off with a Medicare supplement that is the high deductible plan G, because that is a much less costly type of protection. And it leaves some of the cost sharing to you. You get to pay that 20% for a while, but if you have a bad series of medical expenses, then eventually the plan goes to 100%. And you don't have to pay anything for the rest of the year. Otherwise, if you have a normal year and you're normally healthy and you don't have a lot of doctor's expenses, then the high deductible plan G allows you to save a ton of money in monthly insurance premiums. So anyway, durable medical equipment, it's a Part B expense. That means Medicare is going to pay 80% after that small annual Part B deductible. And so according to what I'm reading here, here's a list of durable medical equipment that Part B of Medicare might cover: blood sugar meters, blood sugar test strips, canes. And I read somewhere, but they won't pay extra for white canes for blind people to use. So regular canes, they'll consider that. Okay.
Can't have a white cane, huh? All right.
Well, you can, but you got to pay for it yourself. Commode chairs, I guess, to put on top of your toilet seat to raise the whole thing up a little more so you don't have to squat down, which brings to mind, do older people like to use squatty potty? I wouldn't know, but it's certainly a fun name to say on my podcast, squatty potty. Continuous passive motion devices. I guess that's maybe some sort of mechanical device that bends your knee for you so you don't have to do it yourself. Continuous positive airway pressure devices. CPAP, that's what my friend is concerned about. Crutches, hospital beds, home infusion services, infusion pumps and supplies, lancet devices, and lancet. Those are things that poke a hole if you need a blood sample. I do that because I take blood thinners. And so every once in a while, somebody tells me that I should test my blood to make sure I don't have too much blood thinner. And I use a lancet and it pokes a hole in my finger. Then I wipe a smear of blood onto a strip. And then I stick the strip into a machine and it reads the quantity of blood thinner that I have in my blood. And then a beautiful nurse calls me up and yells at me sometimes. I pay extra for that. Okay, nebulizers and nebulizer medication, oxygen equipment and accessories, patient lifts. I need a car lift for my new garage that I'm going to be building in Wayne, Illinois. But this is patient lifts. I'm sure it's much less expensive. Pressure reducing support surfaces. That must be like a mattress, I'm guessing. Suction pumps. Traction equipment. That's what I like on my old cars. I like to, when I hit the go pedal, I want the tires to bite into the pavement and have lots of traction. So there's traction equipment and walkers. Those are the durable items that are most commonly discussed. Now, your costs in original Medicare, this is the section of the article that tells what we're going to be facing if we need some of this stuff. If your supplier accepts assignment, Medicare assignment, then you, the patient, will pay 20% of the Medicare approved amount and the Part B deductible applies. Remember I said in 2021, that was $203. It's going up to $233 next year in 2022. Medicare pays for different kinds of durable medical equipment in different ways, depending on the type of equipment. You may have to rent the equipment. You may need to buy the equipment, or you may be able to choose whether to rent or buy the equipment. Medicare will only cover your durable medical equipment if your doctors and DME suppliers are enrolled in Medicare. Doctors and suppliers have to meet strict standards to enroll and stay enrolled in Medicare. If your doctors or suppliers aren't enrolled, Medicare won't pay the claims submitted by them. Make sure your doctors and DME, durable medical equipment suppliers, are enrolled in Medicare. It's important to ask your suppliers if they participate in Medicare before you get DME. If suppliers are participating suppliers, they must accept assignment, which means they can charge you only the coinsurance and Part B deductible for the Medicare approved amount. If suppliers aren't participating and don't accept assignment, there's no limit on the amount they can charge you. Medicare won't pay claims for doctors or suppliers who are not enrolled in Medicare. So then the question becomes, what is durable medical equipment? It must meet these criteria. Durable, meaning can withstand repeated use. It must be used for a medical reason, must be medically necessary, not usually useful to someone who isn't sick or injured. It must be used in your home, and it generally has an expected lifetime of at least 3 years. So here are some things to know, according to this article. If you live in an area that's been declared a disaster or emergency area, the usual rules for your medical care may change for a short time. Okay, who cares? Don't see that happening very often or applying to too many people. And then it says, note, to find out how much your test, item, or service will cost, talk to your doctor or healthcare provider. The specific amount you'll owe may depend on several things, like other insurance you may have, how much your doctor charges. All right, that's kind of silly. Whether your doctor accepts assignments, that's very important, whether your doctor accepts Medicare assignment or not. The type of facility, and where you obtain your item. So if you were to go to Medicare.gov, you would be able to, in the search area, find further information on this particular subject. You'd find that there is a search window, and you can ask where to get covered durable medical equipment items. How can I file a complaint? What's the competitive bidding program? I don't know why you would need to know that. What areas and items are included in the competitive bidding program? How can I get a competitive bidding item? That's pretty interesting. I wonder what this competitive bidding thing is. How can I find a Medicare contact supplier? But the most useful thing for a lot of people is a little search window that says, is my test item or service covered? If you put that in the regular search window, you're going to come up with a whole page that lists a million different, it's like an FAQ, and you can put in your item, your test, or your service, which could include any items of durable medical equipment, and you can get more information than I've just given you in this short synopsis about durable medical equipment. Now I've got a problem. I want to call Randy back, and I don't know if he's listening. I got the impression I heard snoring, but oh, there he is. Hey,
I'm back.
You're back. I'm back and I'm proud, James Brown sang.
That's right.
So what are we doing time-wise?
Well, we're out, but I do have a couple questions for you.
Ask away, my friend.
Is it possible that under the right set of circumstances that I could qualify a Guinness tap as durable medical equipment?
It has to be medically necessary, and it has to be used in your home, and it has to be, I think here's where you're going to run into trouble with the criteria. It has to last usually have an expected lifetime of 3 years. I picture any Guinness tap that you would use to be worn out by at least 1 year from now.
You're absolutely correct, Doug. I know that that's absolutely correct. But I just had to pose the question because, you know, I do, in some cases, go out and use that device at least a couple times a day.
I'm not surprised to hear that. And frankly, it's medicinal, isn't it? So
it is medicinal. It calms me down. But here's the bad part. Okay. Do you realize, okay, don't get me started on all this supply chain problem here, but have you brought yourself current on how difficult it is to get a can of Guinness in the nitro version nowadays?
I know how difficult it is to get a house full of Pella windows and to get a house full of kitchen cabinets appliances. So I'm guessing that on a smaller scale, it's still difficult to get a can of Guinness.
It is. It is. It really is. I never thought in my wildest imagination that I would have trouble getting a can of Guinness in my house.
Well, I would have less trouble getting a can of Guinness down my hatch, you know, once I got my hands on it.
Absolutely. And we still have to do that.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
We have yet to do the remote Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast that we did last year.
Looking forward to it just as soon as I get back from Illinois. I'm going to be one happy camper to be back here.
Oh, absolutely. So we probably will end up putting that, you know, as a future item until you get back. So do you have any notion at all as to when you'll be back for the next round of, will be after the first year?
Well, I'm hoping it'll be before the closing date, which is set up for my birthday at the end of January, but I don't know for sure because I have so much stuff and my mother had so much stuff and my grandmother had so much stuff. So I got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff.
We've had estate sales, garage sales, and we still have stuff like you wouldn't believe. So I can't predict how long.
Well, here's as we were talking before, get yourself a pad of tags.
Yeah. Well, I got to know what color they are. So the other people wind up owning my stuff and I'm not burdened by it anymore.
But
stuff I love, you know, I've got a fleet of old cars. I've got piles of tools. I have parts up the yin yang. And so even just the stuff that I'm not going to part with is going to be problematic and time consuming and labor consuming to move. But, that's just the nature of the game. I've enjoyed this beautiful house that we're in for many years. And now I'm saying goodbye to it, I hope.
Well, you can always go visit.
Well, if I don't irritate the buyer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like I should save you the trouble since you're sick. I should do the closing for this episode.
That would be a good idea because my voice is about to go.
Yeah. And I can't do it in the inimitable way that Randy does it. So I'm just going to say we've got a book that's going to be very helpful to people approaching Medicare. And the name of that book is Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. It's on sale at Amazon in several different permutations. It's on sale at barnesandnoble.com. So buy the book. And in fact, we have Christmas coming up. I believe that you're going to find that that's an excellent stocking stuffer, especially for the kiddies in your family, because God knows someday they'll grow up and they'll need to start thinking about Medicare too. But we normally at this point land the plane or bring the train into the station and any number of other activities. But I'm just going to say thank you very much for joining us today and listen carefully for our next podcast. It'll be coming up soon. Bye-bye. And on behalf of Randy Carson, bye-bye for him as well.